It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Big day for Baseball America Hot Sheet. Scotty Braun, J.J. Cooper, and Jeff Fonts with you. And coming up in several minutes, we will have the official announcement of the Minor League Player of the Year from Baseball America. J.J. Cooper will announce it, and then we'll actually bring that special guest, that winner, on the show live. Also, a quick note, on Tuesday, we'll learn the Pitcher of the Year in the Minor Leagues from Baseball America, so stay tuned on all the socials and the website for that news coming your way too. But let's hit First Move to give love to a number of players across different organizations. JJ, what we do know are minor league players of the year per organization, and for people that are watching right now, they can actually see team by team who won the award. So give us the best of this.
So there are years that we have a bounty of candidates for player of the year. And there are years where you say, okay, well, we're picking one of these, whether it's a great candidate or not. And this definitely filled, you know, was 100% one of those years like, whoa, we've got multiple players here who could really be solid candidates. To just take a couple of examples, Justin Crawford, I know that there are people who criticize how much he hits the ball on the ground. I will also note hitting 334 this year, hitting 300 pretty much everywhere he's ever played is really notable. JJ Weatherholt had a great year. Jesus Mate was up to double A and playoff heroics as a, you know, one of the youngest players, like a player who would have been very comfortable to be in Class A. But I do want to really focus on Kevin McGonigal is one that really does stand out. Kevin McGonigal, I think in a lot of years would be our minor league player of the year. We like to have a prospect component to this. We want our minor league player of the year to be one that when you look at it down the road, years from now, you kind of nod your head, not you go, who was that guy? And thankfully, over the years, we've been doing this now since 1981. We've had Hall of Famers like Derek Jeter and Frank Thomas and Joe Mauer. We've got guys like Mike Trout, who, you know, whatever he does the rest of his career is going to be a Hall of Famer. We've got current stars like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Ronald Acuna, Bobby Witt Jr., Gunnar Henderson. I would say that, you know, like, McGonigal kind of checks all those boxes. He had production. He did it at multiple levels. He hit for average. He got on base. He showed surprising, you know, I'd say improved power this year. And Jeff, I kind of want to bring you on this because you were watching him in the playoffs last week. You know, we just keep talking about just how good McGonigal's hit tool is, how kind of heady he is. He kind of really feels like he's advanced for his age. But what stood out to you?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, the way that he takes at bats. There's obviously a plan and an approach. He doesn't get out of that. You know, it's very, very professional at bats. You can't sort of beat him with one particular hole in his swing. Even if he misses something sort of the first time he sees you, if you try that same location, that same pitch, he's probably going to hit that or at least foul it off and make you challenge him again. And I think that's always the big difference for me when you start to see good prospects versus the great prospects where you say, all right, I think this guy is already ready for the big leagues. And, you know, a year from now is really going to be ready for the big leagues, you know, health permitting. And I think, you know, McGonigal does all of the little things really well. He makes a lot of contact. There's nowhere in the zone that you can beat him. He's not somebody that's going to be prone to a lot of chases and expanding the zone with regularity. He knows how to elevate the ball, particularly to his pull side, which for a smaller guy like Kevin McGonigal, who does, you know, for this type of hitter he is and for his size, does hit the ball pretty hard. It's above average EVs based on major league standards. But, you know, I've had this conversation with Kevin McGonigal and Travis Bazan and some of these other guys. Being able to optimize to the pull side when you are a smaller guy and need to get the most out of your power at all times really does allow you to tap into more home run power in a big way. And I think that's something that he figured out very early. there's a lot of guys in the minors that are very good hitters that are, you know, going to be playing in the big leagues next year and playing substantial roles that haven't figured out how to pull the ball in the air consistently. I mean, Roman Anthony, you know, obviously their physical tools are different, but Roman Anthony is one, for example, that, you know, had a lot of success in the big leagues, obviously ended up getting hurt. But he's still not a guy that's consistently pulling the ball in the air. So I think there are a lot of things that Kevin McGonigal really does well at the plate. Defensively, he plays a solid shortstop. I think he's going to stick in the infield. It's probably going to be more second or third base and more than likely not a shortstop long term.
The thing that you hit on it, that about his ability to make adjustments, I think you were watching this game when like I was. But the memory I will have of Kevin McGonigal's season that will stick with me for years is he was facing Harlan Susana, who the Nationals' top pitching prospect, or one of their top, they got a several. But Nationals' fireballing starting pitcher, 100, 101, you know, good breaking ball to go with it. First at bat for McGonigal, Susana got him. Harlan Susana strikes him out, sends him back to the dugout. Second at bat, I think it was 101. It was above 101, if I remember correctly, kind of in on him. And Kevin McGonigal hit one of the longest home runs that you will ever see. And it was the perfect example of like what Jeff just said there, which is if you beat Kevin McGonigal one time, one way, don't just think that you can do that again, because he has that barrel control. He has that strike zone coverage, that plate coverage. He has the ability to make those adjustments where you might've won one time, but he can win the next time. And then he kind of puts that little bit of fear in your head of like, wait a second, he wasn't supposed to be able to hit that pitch. Now, what do I do? Kevin McGonigal, it seems like, did that pretty much as almost anyone I can think of in the minors this year. But that home run, Jeff, was one that is one of my favorite memories of this season.
Yeah, I think it's like one of those moments where you're like, okay, like this is special. And I remember one a few seasons ago, and now this pitcher has come back into the news because he's finally healthy. It might have been the last game Espino pitched. But do you remember watching a few years ago where Gunnar Henderson got beat by Espino, I think in the first inning? Similar circumstances, came back second at bat and hit like an absolute bomb. And these were, you know, same thing with like Susana, like one of the hardest throwing pitchers in the minors, huge upside guy, you know. And I think it's like you kind of see that with these special upper echelon, upper tier prospects. And it's what separates them very clearly from the rest of the field. And I think it's one of the reasons that we're always pretty successful with the guys that we put in the top 3 to 5 on our offseason top 100 list, because those guys kind of stand out.
All right, let me take you to Jonah Tong for the New York Mets. JJ, I wanted to ask you about him as we look back at the list. Like you said, many really exceptional performances this season. I want to bring him up because not only did he dominate in the minor leagues, we live in a world where if you dominate and a team has a need, they're not going to wait. We've gotten rid of at least some service time issues, right, with teams, especially the major one, to hold guys back. And this isn't that case anyway. The Mets were like, holy crap, we were not prepared on the starting rotation front. Bring up all the youngsters, and that included Jonah Tong, who dominated in the minor leagues. Your thoughts on what he did and how he progressed to get himself to this point where he's a big swing and miss guy in his first several starts with the Mets.
It's an exceptional season. Like when you talk about pitching seasons in the 21st century, I think this one stacks up with most of the best ones. And when I say that, like Justin Verlander had a year with a 1.29 ERA. You know, there was Christian Javier who had a year where he led the minors in opponent's batting average and ERA. Well, Jonah Tong this year, and I got a story up at Baseball America. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit later. Like, but for our standards, he's a qualifier. And Jonah Tong led the minors in ERA. He led the minors in strikeouts. He led the minors in opponent's average, and he was second in whip. Best in strikeout to walk percentage as well. It's an exceptional season. It's a season where on the minor league side, there's really nothing to complain about there. His first three starts of the year, he gave up, I think it was 8 runs in his first three starts. He didn't give up 3 runs in an outing over the remainder of his minor league time until he got promoted to the majors. More often than not, he left. He had 10 starts after that where he gave up no runs. It was a pretty remarkable season, and one that really is kind of, you know, almost impeccable. Like again, you see this every now and then, but you don't see seasons with a sub 1.5 ERA. And you really, we hadn't had anyone since we started tracking this in 1993. We have not had a pitcher who led the minors in ERA and strikeouts in the same year. Usually those don't go together, but in this case, they did.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you look at the sort of changes that Tong made over the offseason as well. And just his ability to level up in terms of adding the velocity, you know, reworking that changeup so it was less of, you know, kind of a fourth pitch for him, you know, after the slider and the curveball in 2024. It became his primary pitch. And I honestly think that's what catapulted him up to the amount of success that he's had. And I think there's still building blocks here for him to even improve and get better. More focus on, you know, that slider and kind of getting back to some of the shape that we saw in 2024, getting more results on that consistently. You know, and the curveball was still useful. It's just not, you know, a primary sort of secondary pitch. But I think you look at the totality of the arsenal and, you know, potentially, you know, what he can turn into even in the next couple of years. I still think there's more ceiling here than what we've seen. I don't think that he's, you know, completely sort of optimized himself to the fullest extent yet. And it's good to see him having some success, obviously not the same level of Nolan McLean in the big leagues, but, you know, obviously a little younger and it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. But I do think both of those guys are going to be major parts of the rotation going forward. And we could see an improved Jonah Tong next year where, you know, there might be a better slider or another pitch in there to sort of work in unison with that fastball and changeup that has been, you know, deadly this season, frankly.
So coming shortly on Baseball America Hot Sheet, we will announce the winner of the Minor League Player of the Year. You saw per organization, we pick one from that group and give you the best position player. Best pitcher will come out on baseballamerica.com and across socials on Tuesday, but we're expecting the winner not only to be announced, but to be joining us soon. Be right back.
When you think Fair Harbor, you should think soft. You should think buttery liner. But it's not just the bathing suits or the shorts. It's also sweatshirts like the one that I'm wearing right now, Kratz. It is stupid soft.
It's ridiculous that a shirt that can, one, keep you warm, two, be so soft, and three, so lightweight, like the collar, everything. You don't even feel like you actually have a hoodie on, but you do.
It is a lightweight hoodie, and it feels incredible. So you should go get one yourself. Also, for bathing suits, for shorts, for whatever clothes that you're interested in, where you want to basically feel like you're not wearing them, but you are, that's what Fair Harbor can bring to the table. So head to fairharborclothing.com/foul20. And use code FOUL20 for 20% off your order. That's Fair Harbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, clothing.com/foul20 for 20% off your order. And make sure you use that promo code FOUL20.
Okay, we're back. And we always take questions. So let's take one from the live chat. Baseball Tossed. Do the White Sox push Caleb Bonnemer to Birmingham to start 2026? JJ, what do you think?
I would say either yes, or if not, it would be one of those things where, okay, maybe he starts the season back in Winston-Salem, but it's like, and then 3 weeks or a month into the season, he's up to double A, and okay, so how much is the difference of that? I just wanted to kind of highlight on that like the White Sox had a truly horrid season last year. And obviously at the big league level, this is not a season that any White Sox fan is going to file away as one of the greatest memories that they've ever had. But it is amazing to me how different the two terrible seasons are at the big league level, because you look at this White Sox team, and if you're going to be bad, at least be interesting, young, and promising and bad. And this year we saw, you know, we saw Shane Smith in their rotation, great Rule 5 pick. We saw Colson Montgomery. We saw, you know, a pair of catchers in Cuero and Teal, who look like that they are fixtures for the White Sox for a long period of time. And then when you do go to the minor league level, you also add in like the breakouts of guys like Caleb Bonnemer. I just feel like that this White Sox system, this White Sox organization still has a long way to go, but it feels a lot better where they are, I should say, right now compared they were not long ago.
JJ, good stuff. We're going to take another quickie break and we'll get ready for the announcement plus our special guest joining us right after that for a big final segment on Hot Sheet.
Kratz, let's talk about Omaha Steaks. And it's not just steaks. It's chicken wings. It's smash burgers. Big deli style Franks. There are a number of categories that you can hit all in one place. They've been doing it for a long time. They're the best in the biz. And if you got a good filet, life's good, man.
But you got to finish every meal with some delectable desserts, too. They have those, too, to go along with these delicious steaks.
Mm-hmm. Apple caramel tarts on the list, among many other menu items to check out. Be the hero that orders Omaha Steaks and is the most popular person in your household. So get fired up for fall grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Red Hot Sale event. And for an extra $35 off, yeah, $35 off on top of that, use promo code FOUL at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with promo code FOUL at checkout. See site for details.
Hiring the right people fast keeps your team moving forward without losing momentum. Every day a position stays open is a day you're missing productivity, creativity, and growth. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed Sponsored Jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. One thing I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast because it allows you to rapidly sort through candidates based on your preferences. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BaseballAmerica. Just go to Indeed.com/BaseballAmerica right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BaseballAmerica. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We are back, and we are excited to announce that Baseball America's 2025 Minor League Player of the Year is Pirates shortstop slash center fielder, Connor Griffin. I want to just kind of highlight a couple of things here that stand out about Connor Griffin this year. Connor Griffin hit .333. That is the highest batting average in full season minor leagues by a teenager since Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit .382 back in 2018. Connor Griffin also played shortstop most of the year, 88 games, I believe, 7 errors. There was only 3 teenage shortstops 75 more games this year who had 10 or fewer errors. Connor Griffin was one of those. And by the way, doing it while making some sensational catches, some plays that you just want to, you know, watch over and over and over. And on top of that, no drafted teenager had ever had a 20-40 season, 20 homers, 40 steals in the minor leagues ever. This year, Connor Griffin hit 21 homers while stealing 65 bases. Put it all together. And Connor Griffin, congratulations. You are Baseball America's 2025 Minor League Player of the Year. Congrats on the season. And just what has the last year been like for you? At this time last year, you're just coming out of the draft, and here you are, you're in Double A, and, you know, just coming off of a thrilling playoff series.
Yeah, it's been a crazy year, but I'm super thankful for the Pirates for taking a chance on me last year's draft. And it's been a heck of a year. I learned so much about myself. I really feel like I grew as a baseball player, and now I'm back home and get into the off season, take some time off, and get ready to keep going next year.
Hey, Connor, Jeff Ponce, got the opportunity to obviously meet you or, you know, chat with you a little bit last week out in Altoona. Great series that you had there. Unfortunately, you guys came up a little short against a very talented Erie team, but I think you hit 600 during the series, so can't be too angry about the performance. But we talked a little bit when we chatted about, you know, just sort of the adjustments you had to make in high and low A, and then, you know, getting up to high, getting up to double A. Your numbers and your line in comparison to your peers actually improved at each level. So talk to me a little bit about making those adjustments and dealing with some of that adversity.
Yeah, I just think experience is, you know, the most important thing. As the season went on, I felt like I continued to stack up good days and, you know, become the hitter and defensive player that I became. And there was always something, a different challenge every day that I was trying to overcome. But the main thing is just making sure I show up ready to win, ready to compete every day, and try to find some way to grow as a player. But there was always something, and you know, with the hitting side, just making sure to be consistent. That was my biggest thing. Continue to show up and be consistent, be who I am every day. And then defensively, at shortstop, it was kind of, you know, big mentally for me. Just, you know, making sure I'm focused every single pitch, and just giving it my all every time I'm out there. So just try to be the same player at every level and continue to do what I did.
Connor, we kind of like to pour over swings, look at all that. But one thing that jumped out to me probably the most looking at your swing from high school to now is just how physically different you are. How much has that kind of been a big part of your, you know, adjustment to pro ball? So like physically, it looks like you really kind of have filled out over the past, you know, 12 to 16 months.
Yeah, I think when I got drafted, I was right around like 210 pounds, and now I'm up to about 225. That's what I got to going into spring training. So I think that was a huge jump for me. I started swinging a 33 and a half, a little bigger bat than I was in high school. I started being able to use my legs more, just be in the ground, and then I always had the power, but it's just being consistent with the power, and that's what eventually came from that. And it was a great off season last year. I trained really hard, made sure I was eating well, and I wanted to get to spring training at 225, and that's what I did. And I think it really, I benefited from it really good.
Let's dig in a little deeper, because you talked about this with me last week as well. Working with your dad in the off season on your swing and cleaning up some things. What sort of stuff did you guys focus on and clean up?
Yeah, we focused a lot on the lower half, making sure I'm staying on my backside and not jumping out of it. Didn't want to make 95 feel like 100 every time I'm in the box. So plus it helped me see the ball a little better, have more time. And then just really, really focusing on direction. In high school, I think we talked about this, that I was arm barring a little bit, made sure to try to be a little shorter to the ball, and then just maintaining good direction. And then it really worked out for me. So going to continue to hammer down those things. I'm super thankful for my dad, who's helped me get to where I'm at, and we're going to continue to work this off season and try to continue to get better.
So you mentioned about spring training. That kind of felt like that was a big moment for you as far as like the Pirates fans and all. The anticipation started building because, you know, you got to play a lot in big league games in spring training. How important though was that for you also? You got to make some plays, you got to get kind of that feel of what big league spring training's like. Did that kind of really kind of springboard you into the season?
Yeah, I think that was the biggest part of my season was spring training. Not even playing in the games, just being every day with the big league staff, the veterans, and just, you know, trying to figure out how to become a pro. And it was really easy sitting there watching guys like Paul Skeens and Andrew McCutchen, you know, watching how they go about their day. And I learned a lot at big league camp and getting to the games and play a little bit in front of the fans. It was awesome. Got to kind of make a name for myself, and then I continued on to my season. And I think it really prepared me for my first year was being at big league camp. So it was a great experience for me.
Now in spring training, you did a lot of playing in center field, and then obviously as the season went along, you played, you know, much more at short. Slowed a little bit. Got to play both, though. Still played both. One of the things that stood out to me about you at shortstop, which maybe it's because of center field, I don't know if it's wide receiver background. Do you have? I don't know if you have that in your background or what. But your tracking of balls over your head at shortstop, a lot of guys, they kind of, that's a tough one for them. That seemed to be something that you almost like embraced, was seeing that pop fly that was going to end up in short center or, you know, in short left field. Is that kind of like, where did that come from?
Yeah, I think it came from me being an outfielder first. I've always loved outfield. I mean, I can say that outfield definitely comes more natural to me. But being a short, I just want to make plays. And so when those kind of in between balls are right behind me, I feel like I'm a center fielder again. I go back and try to track them down. But I think it's cool. It's really cool how outfield and infield kind of work together. I feel like they stuck me at short most of the year just because, kept my footwork sharp, and if I needed to go out to the outfield, I could. But I think in spring training, they really didn't know whether I was going to play center field or shortstop. They were just giving me reps at both spots, and then when the season started, they said, "Hey, let's stick it short, and we'll let you play some center field if you want." But I spent most of the year short, and I loved it. I feel like I became a really decent shortstop, and I feel like I grew a lot at that position, and just not just the fundamentals, but just, you know, the mental side, where to be on certain plays, things like that, things that I didn't really think about when I was in high school. I just kind of tried to be an athlete and go play, but I really learned a lot, especially starting in spring training.
What sort of things, you know, you talked about being around the veterans and you know, obviously growing as a player defensively, offensively. What sort of things have you adapted or, you know, maybe brought into your routine in terms of like your pregame work and all that sort of stuff that maybe is a little different than, you know, when you were in high school and, you know, things are a little different and the resources and stuff are obviously different there too.
I think just the way they take care of themselves to start the day, they get there hours before even taking a swing in the cage or taking ground balls. They're there, they're getting their body loose in the gym. And I think that's something that I learned that helped me feel great all year was having a good activation workout. And I mean, I remember watching Paul Skeen sit outside in the grass and stretch and do things for an hour to 2 hours before he even started to pick up a baseball. So I think that stuff is really important. Get your mind right, gets you locked in for the day. And I added that stuff to my routine, and it kind of helped me feel good, helped me feel consistent every day, knowing that I was doing the same routine every time I showed up to the field.
Connor, the other thing I just want to kind of end this with is thank you for joining us. But we've had a few high school players of the year who've also have gone on to be our minor league player of the year. Joe Mauer, Byron Buxton, Bobby Witt Jr., Jackson Holliday, and now you. That's a pretty good group to be part of. I did want to kind of ask you with that. Who did you grow up kind of like? Who is your player that you kind of watched as a kid and said, I want to be like that?
Yeah, it's crazy to say this, but I loved watching Ronald Acuna Jr. play. That was a guy I loved watching.
Another minor league player of the year.
Yep, a lot of energy. You know, swings it and has a heck of an arm. So I just love watching how he played the game. And I was a Braves fan growing up. My dad's from Georgia, so he always had the Braves on at the house. So that was definitely the guy I loved to watch.
Connor, last one for me. At the finish line, you mentioned Skeens. Do you keep in touch with him? And if so, I mean, I know Paul has been brilliant up in the major leagues, but is one of those intense gamers. And he's going to tell us, as we've talked to him, say, like last year at the awards for Rookie of the Year, that he loves the win and obviously the individual accomplishment, but he's like, not good enough. I need postseason ball, and he hasn't seen that yet in his first couple seasons. So if you have spoken to him, do you guys talk about what the future could look like in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it's cool. He stays in touch. He'll text me, you know, every now and then, just checking in, making sure everything is going well. And when we were in spring training, we got to spend a lot of time together, and it's just cool to see the type of competitor he is. And I mean, he wants to win more than anything. And if you can get a lot of guys around him that, you know, have that same mentality, like it's going to be a fun few years. And I just can't wait to continue to grow as a player and try to be there as quick as I can, just to be around that type of player. And because I just know it makes everybody better who's around him. And the most important thing is winning, and we want to win bad. It was cool to be in Double A and make it to the playoffs for the Altoona Curve for the first time since 2018. So I got my first taste of that. I mean, the fans, even in Double A, were, you know, so excited that we made the playoffs. Like, I can't imagine getting to Pittsburgh eventually and then doing the same thing. So that's definitely the main goal. But I know there's a lot of work to be done. I'm gonna continue to grow as a player and you know, continue to work hard and see what happens.
Great answers. Awesome to have you on. Congratulations, Connor. Thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the award.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for believing in me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, man. And congrats again on a great year. That's Connor Griffin, who also happens to be on the Baseball America 2026 Prospect Handbook. So awesome conversation. And we can just wrap it up here, JJ, with some final words as we see there. Connor's getting a lot of love via Baseball America this year.
Right. At baseballamerica.com/store, that is, pre-sale is on for that now. But the thing that just jumps out here, we talked about it on that, you know, with Connor, is, hey, I know the Pirates, it has been bleak for the last, for a lot of years. But to have Connor Griffin following on the heels of Paul Skeens, there's something here. We'll see, you know, again, can they put stuff around it? But again, with our minor league player of the year, we try to pick someone who has staying power. I feel very comfortable. Jeff, I think, feels very comfortable. Everyone on the staff feels very comfortable that we are talking about someone who is going to be one of, you know, a star in the big leagues, and probably not too long from now. You know, he has so many different ways to impact the game. I love how he said he can be a center fielder, he can be a shortstop. He loves both. That's not a whole lot of guys can just move back and forth between those two positions.
One reminder on the way out, we just learned position player. Pitcher is the next award. And again, you can check that out via Baseball America socials and the website coming up on Tuesday. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks again to Connor Griffin for joining us on Baseball America Hot Sheet. We do this every week. We will see you next week, Monday, live, 3:30 Eastern time on YouTube. Otherwise, catch us afterward on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. See ya.